welcome to Planet Shakers Church. I'm so excited to have you with us today. I'm going to be speaking on a firestorm. Sit back and relax and enjoy what God has to say to you today. At Planet Shakers Conference, I was there and Pastor Art Bossoff, how many love Pastor Art Bossoff? He's like a general, literally, when he says to do something, you do it. I'm telling you, he's got muscles on muscles. I've got fat on fat, so we're even. So I was there and he was telling the story of the fire of God and how God hit him with fire and it changed his life. And as I was listening to him, because I know him well, but I'd never heard that story, it reminded me of the story that God, when God touched my life 22 years ago in a meeting where I was hit with the fire of God. And God gave me this picture of converging fires, fires coming together. And he said to me this, he said, it's a year of supernatural increase and I want to bring fires together to release a firestorm. So I want to speak to you today on a firestorm. Who's ready for a firestorm? You see, whoever wants to live in supernatural increase needs to understand this one principle that's in the Bible, the power of agreement. The Bible says, where two agree on anything, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So when your fire connects with my fire in agreement, all of a sudden, there's supernatural increase. The Bible says that God, where there is unity, God, what? He commands, everyone say command. He commands a blessing. So the God of the universe who has all power, when there's unity, God commands a blessing. So to live in supernatural increase, there needs to be a coming together of unity to see supernatural increase. The Bible puts it another way. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So you imagine your fire with my fire, with a fire next to you, and all of a sudden there is a whole city ablaze with the glory of God. And when we're talking about a firestorm, we're not talking about the devastation of bushfires. We're talking about a revival fire that brings change and changes the city, the nation, and the nations. If you want to see that happen, give a shout of praise. The church was birthed in fire. Jesus had gone away. Before that, he says, I'm going away and I'm going to send somebody who represents me and he'll lead you into all truth. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he will baptize you with fire. And he says, wait for the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you're saved, when you give your life to Jesus, Jesus lives inside of you for you. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's not just for you, it's for you and I to be empowered to change our world. And so here they are. There were crowds that followed Jesus and they were like, Jesus, you're so cool. Jesus, you're so amazing. But it is amazing what adversity does. It really tests who's a follower, who's a friend, or who's just a fake. Friends and followers stay. Fakes, when the heat gets on, leave. All these people, Jesus, you're so cool. They even got palm branches. Ooh, save us now. Then he goes to the cross. And he dies and they all disappear except a few. And a pretty amazing, ladies, is the people that came to the tomb first was women. See, Jesus came to set women free. And so they were the ones who says, I got to be there where he is. Jesus was a great liberator. People trying to get free all over the world. The way to get free is to be free in Jesus. Religion will bind you, but relationship will free you. So they were down to 120 people. But there was something powerful about these 120 people. You know what was powerful about it? The Bible says this. Let's read it. One day on the day of Pentecost, all the believers met together in one place. Everyone say one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. The Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The same version of scripture in the King James Version says, and they were all in one accord in one place. You know what that word accord means? It means to be one mind. In other words, 120 people were unified. You see, Jesus is what unifies us. It's what unites us. They were diverse people from different backgrounds, places, cultures, careers. But the one thing that brought them together is Jesus. This church is over 15,000 people here in Melbourne. And we're from different places, different backgrounds, different countries, different economic situations, different schools, different education levels. But the one thing that unites us is Jesus. Would you give Jesus a shout of praise? If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here and neither would you. People think it's the music. It's not the music. They think it's the preaching. It's not the preaching. It's Jesus. Because the music preaches Jesus. The preachers preach Jesus. Our generosity preaches Jesus. Everything we are about is Jesus, 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 Jesus. See, Jesus is what united them. And they were together in one place and the Holy Spirit fell and fire came upon them all. They all had their own individual encounter with the Holy Spirit. I loved conference this year because so many people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've never seen a conference that there's been so much change in people. Every conference has changed, but there's something about this conference that people have changed. The things they were struggling with, they're not struggling with anymore. The things that they were discouraged with, they're not discouraged anymore because they had an encounter with the power of Jesus and people got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in new language and they got filled. And God gave them ability. This conference, we've seen 1,000 children at our kids' conference. And we've seen God do life-changing things with young children. You know it has to be God for the children to change. And you know it's really God if adults change. Because adults are more stubborn. You see what fire? The fire came. Everyone say the fire came. Fire. Who wants the fire of God to come again today? See, there's three things that fire needs to exist. You know, I'm not good at making fires. If there's anyone in my house that's good at making fires, it's not Jonathan. It's not Amy. If you want anything done in my house, like anything built, and you go to IKEA, I can't do it because I mess it up. Jonathan doesn't do it because he doesn't get out of bed. Just kidding, sort of. And Amy's too busy listening to music. It's a joke. It's her birthday. 19 years of age. Happy birthday. And so the person who makes things in our house is Sam. In fact, she's the person who fixes things too. And she's the person who started, when we had a fireplace, she was the one who made the fires. I was hopeless at it because I'd just get a log and I'd put a match on it and I hope it would burn. Just wouldn't burn. We had a chimney. I hated our chimney because birds would get stuck into it. And I'm not really an animal person because I've been attacked by animals all my life. I've been bitten by 7 dogs. 7. My mum scared me about rats when I was a kid because I was born in Papua New Guinea. And she says, there's rats here. And if you have food on your face, they're going to come and eat your face when you're sleeping. It was an encouragement to wash my face before I go to sleep. It didn't encourage me. It scared the heck out of me. So if I see rats, I get Sam to kill them. One time when we first moved to Melbourne, I was out watching TV and we had this glass window. And I'm there, Sam's in bed, I'm watching TV. And it was in Warrandyte. We lived at Warrandyte first when we came here. And there are a lot of koalas and echidnas and wombats. In fact, I went for a run one time in Warrandyte and a wombat ran in front of me, scared the heck out of me. The kangaroos. And I was there and I was watching TV and I saw this koala and I went, that koala's on the inside. It's in the house. So I went running down to get Sam. She was asleep. I said, Sam, wake up, wake up. She goes, what? I said, there's a koala in the house. She says, what? There's a koala in the house. You've got to get rid of it because its claws scratch your face off. So she comes out with a broom. I'm hiding behind her. She looks. She goes, Russell, there's no koala here inside the house. It's on the outside of the window. You woke me up for that. We used to have rabbits that would eat everything. And so you give them poison carrots and they die. That's because they're a pest. You're actually allowed to do it. The council tells you to do it. So we'd have these dead rabbits on the. And if you're an animal person, don't write me. Just get over yourself. I used to watch movies with black cats and they'd come and scratch your face. So these cats are, have you ever seen black cats? They're bat, demon possessed, I'm sure. So we'd have these dead rabbits and I'd pay Amy to dig little things and put them in the, it's a good way to earn pocket money. She goes, Dad, she was about 10. I don't want to dig. I said, no, I'll give you some money. So. Sorry, Amy. You can tell I'm a really manly man. But fire. How did we get onto that? Fire. There is no animal lover that's going to join our church after that. No, Jesus has changed my heart. I love all animals. I love Pastor Andy. So, what you were saying that? Oh, my mind doesn't go there. I was thinking anyway. 3 things you need for fire. Number 1, you need fuel. If you don't have fuel, a fire can't burn. The fuel that we need is hunger. If you're not hungry for God, His fire won't be attracted to you because you have no fuel. You see, I've seen Christians and they get full on for God, and then I see Christians who've been around and they go, well, we'll see them calm down. they'll mature. That's not maturity calming down. That's actually immaturity. Because the more you're in love with Jesus, the more fire you have, the more hunger you have, and God wants us to have so much hunger. Is there any hungry people in this place? If you are, would you shout a prayer? You see, when we started this church, it was hunger, but it's not as hungry as it is now. We are more hungry than we started 14 years ago. That's maturity, but also deeper as well. We're seeing more people saved than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more miracles than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more breakthroughs than ever before. Why? Because we kept hungry. And I want to encourage you, get the fuel of hunger. God is attracted to it. Fire needs fuel. Hunger. Fire needs heat, power. Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Fire needs heat. If you have no heat, there's no fire. I used to go to this thing called Royal Rangers, which is like Boy Scouts for Christians. And I remember I went on this thing called a powwow. It's like a camp that you stay in tents and you do outdoor activities, which isn't me. I'm a 5-star hotel guy. I'm not a tent person. Who wants to stay in a tent when I can have a TV and air condition and bath? I can watch whatever. Any people with me on it? But who's a tent person? You strange people. I'm just kidding. I bet you're a tent person, Daniel. Yeah, I see you with your fishing rod. What a boring existence, fishing. And people who play golf, get a life. You wear a little hat, wear little shoes, you walk around, get in your little cart. Steve, do you do that? George Clooney? Who thinks Pastor Steve looks like George Clooney? The Fox. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I'd be there and I'd get the wood, a little spark, and had this little dry grass fuel, and I'd be like, and it caught. And if I didn't keep feeding it fuel, it would run out. And then it'd get hotter. And when it got to a point of heat, I then could put a log in because it was hot enough to burn the log. But so many people don't live in the freedom of Jesus because they don't make their lives hot enough with His power. I meet men and women of God all over the world that are powerful. And one thing that I see that's common to powerful people, when I'm around them, I feel heat. I feel like, have you ever been in a meeting and you feel this heat come on you? It's the power of God. Jesus put it this way, I'd rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. Too many Christians live lukewarm. Let me show you what a lukewarm Christian does. Well, I come to church every now and then. I give in my tithes, but I never sell my life out to the cause of the gospel. Jesus is my add-on. He's not my all. That's lukewarm. I've been in atmospheres where it's been cold and a demonic. Where there's heat, there's power. The Holy Spirit gives you power. That word power means ability, efficiency, and might. He gives you divine ability. You are sitting here today not because I've got a good hairdo. Not because I'm the skinny, cool guy. You're sitting here today because God has created an environment in this place of hunger. That power came on a little insecure pastor's kid, and He gave him power to be witnesses all over the world. It's His power that has built this church. It's not through the excellence of my thinking. It's His power. So you need heat. And you need fuel. And you need oxygen. Oxygen speaks to me of the breath of God, the life of God. So if I have heat, power, Holy Spirit gives you power. If I have the oxygen of God, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the Word of God, the breath of God, if I have that in my life. But my job is to have hunger. His job is to have power. His job is to have oxygen. My job is to have hunger. You see, when you deprive fire of either heat or oxygen or fuel, what happens is that takes the fire out. Anyone that's trying to stop a fire, you've got to take one of those components out to stop it. Mark chapter 10 says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. See, the devil wants to separate you from the purposes of God by making you less hungry or me less hungry. We either get separated by hurt, disappointment, apathy, familiarity, instead of expectation, honor, hunger, and we get separated from these things, and we do the church thing, but we don't have the fire operating. So many churches have people attend, but have no fire in it. They can't cook anything, except give out a few sweets. We need the fire of God. See, the enemy will try to remove any of the components of the triangle of fire. Can we put that picture up of a triangle of fire? I hope we got it. I think we've got it. By the way, anyone watching online or anyone here, the devil does not own triangles. The Illuminati does not own triangles. Just want to get that too. If we put a triangle up ever on an image, it's got nothing to do with the Illuminati. Get alive. You should see religious people write in, or they have triangles in their videos. Yes, and we have squares, and we have circles, and we have dots. Who says the devil owns triangles? Religious. Triangle of fire. They didn't get it up for me. They didn't get that triangle. They just put a triangle there. I had another one that they were going to put up, but they didn't do that. But praise God. We love them. So we have this fire, and we got fire. So that's going to really freak some religious people out. We got fire and triangles. Ooh. I got to really restrain myself sometimes on YouTube because I see little comments that people write. And I have to restrain myself. Sometimes I don't. It's about 3 a.m. those times. And I feel like saying, are you for real? Are you for real? I feel like saying things that aren't nice. So the Holy Spirit has to deal with my heart. See, if the enemy can remove oxygen, or if he can remove heat, or if he can remove fuel, then he can stop the fire. So whenever there's bushfires or any fires, why do they do backburning to get rid of the fuel? Why do they pour whatever they call it, it's not water, but they pour that stuff to stop the fire from those planes. It's to cool the fire down and take the oxygen out. So the devil will try to take a component out of it. And see, here's the one we're in control of: hunger, fuel. You see, but when fires come together, then the upper room, a fire came over him, a fire came over Peter, a fire came over James, a fire came over John, a fire came over all the 120, and that fire converged, came together, because they're in one place, and they saw an increase in intensity. I'm believing that there will be an increase of intensity in the life of our church, that we go to another level, that your life sees supernatural increase. When fires converge, they become unstoppable. If a fire gains enough momentum, it will generate so much heat that it creates its own wind currents and becomes a raging inferno known as a firestorm. I'm here to prophesy over your life that the fire of God on your life meets the fire of God on the person next to you, meets the fire of God on the person next to you, and it'll come together and our heat will converge together and will release a firestorm that has so much momentum. A revival. See, a fire's heat, listen to this, this is so cool, creates an updraft of air. You see, when we get hot for God and His power and His breath, the oxygen of heaven, comes together, there's an updraft. In other words, God inhabits the praises of His people. The praise go up, His presence comes down. Our prayers goes up, miracles come down. Our hunger goes up, heaven comes down. There's an updraft, but it gets better. A fire heat, listen to this, can cause thunderstorms which produce lightning strikes that light new fires. I'm believing that the fire of God be so strong in this place that we release a spiritual thunderstorm, that lightning strikes happen all over the world, that people will get on fire for God, and it will touch places that you didn't even think you were going to touch. It will heal places that you didn't even think were going to be healed, because when there's fire, something happens beyond your control. I was looking on YouTube today, looking at comments about songs. And in 99, I don't know how anyone can not like a Christian song that's a Christian. Maybe the atheists do it. But I'm looking at these songs, and in this song, this guy says, I was tidying my room and I had this song. I hadn't heard it before. It's called We Speak Life. We Speak Life. And I had that playing on the background and something drew me. And I had to put down my cleaning and I had an encounter with God. What was happening is the heat of this house was starting a lightning strike in that room. We've had people say, I got healed when I heard that message. I got healed when I heard that song. I got healed when I met that Christian. I got saved when I met that person from Planet Shakers. I hear this all the time. This church is the most friendliest church I've ever been to. I've been to churches and they don't say hello, but I get a phone call on Monday from a pastor. I get in an urban life and people just love me. That's lightning strike, baby. That's the heat of heaven. There's amazing, great churches around. Listen to this lastly. With the right combination of atmospheric conditions, fire tornadoes can be created which are unstoppable, with winds exceeding of greater than 250 kilometers an hour and are extremely powerful. They become unstoppable until the fuel runs out. Your life is unstoppable as long as it has fuel. But as soon as the fuel runs out, as soon as the hunger runs out, you become stoppable. A church becomes unstoppable as long as there's hunger. As soon as there's familiarity. I've been to a conference before. I'm going to go away this weekend. Watch the fire run out. Not another praise song. I'm too old. What's the fire run out? But if you keep fire, it might not be my style, but I know God's in it. My grandpa at 86 years of age came to our youth services, not because he liked the music. I could imagine him praise over problems. That would really freak him out. He was brought in up in Wales with hymns from the Welsh Valleys. But what kept him going was hunger. So he'd come to youth and he'd say, to Planet Boom, for it would be like, and he would say, I'd say, Grandpa, why are you here? He said, the music style is not what attracted me, because it wasn't made for him, actually. It's made for the next generation. He said, but what attracted me is hunger. And this is the most hungriest place. This is the most life-giving place in the church. He said, that's why I'm here. I don't want to miss out on a new move. That's why at 96 years of age, one of the last things he did, he was blind. He was preaching in my uncle's church. He was being led to preach. He tripped over the stairs, broke his hip. He says, I got to preach the word. 96 years of age with a broken hip, he sits down, puts his leg up, and preaches the gospel for the very last time. Why was he hungry? Why did he keep encountering God? Because he kept the fuel, kept the hunger. See, when there were bushfires here a few years ago, and fires converged, and the firefighters were saying we couldn't stop it because on top of the trees, the fire was going so fast, it was going at 300 kilometers an hour, that it was just going like a wildfire, like a firestorm. In the spirit, that God wants to release a revival firestorm that touches places that the enemy can't stop. God will have power if we're hungry for it. God will release His spirit, the oxygen of heaven, if we're hungry for it. But it's our job to have the fuel. Let me show you how I can tell your fuel's low. You don't want to read the word like you used to. Let me show you what shows you me your fuel's low. If secular music is better for you than worship music. Let me tell you, if your fuel's low, you go, I've heard that before. You don't get something out of it. But when your fuel is high, when just a little spark comes and power and oxygen comes. That's why I'm not worried about this nation seeing a revival, because it's got dryness all through the nation. But when a fire hits it, and we are the fire responsible people, we release a fire that touches dry places, broken places, places that seem dead. And fire hits it and poof. But the key is, you and I keeping the fuel high. And you say, Russell, I want to be part of a firestorm revival. I want to be a part of a supernatural increase. And maybe you've let the enemy try to take one of the components, hunger, away. Because you got hurt, you got disappointed. Somebody let you down. Or people shouldn't be like that at church. That's the enemy trying to separate the fire triangle. And you need to say, I've got to get rid of that and just get in His presence. If there's a group of people here in Melbourne and across the world, people watching in Singapore right now, and you say, I want the fire of God. I want my fuel to be high. I want to see a revival in my generation. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. Some of you might just want to get out of your seat because you're so hungry, not just to get to the front, but you just say, God, I it's just a sign of my heart that I just want the fire of God. I just feel that God's about to do something in these next 5-10 minutes that's going to literally be life-altering. Thank you so much for being with us today. I pray that you encounter the presence and the power of God. Keep hungry, keep asking for the power of God, keep believing to hear the voice of God and the move of the Spirit of God. If you want to connect with us at church@planetshakers.com or on any social media platform. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.